Copyright 2026, Charles Henry Thomas / Web Fusion Publications. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, photocopying, recording, or otherwise, without the prior written permission of the author, except in the case of brief quotations used in reviews or educational settings. This article is intended for personal use by the purchaser. For permissions, licensing, or educational distribution inquiries, please contact Web Fusion Publications. Hello, my friends, Albert here. Before we begin, I'd like to offer a small thought. In every generation, parents try to prepare their children for a world that seems to move just a little faster than the one they grew up in. Today, that world moves at the speed of a swipe, a tap, a notification, and sometimes a whisper that slips into a young mind before anyone notices. This guide you're about to hear is not a warning. It is a lantern. It teaches a child how to pause, how to think, and how to keep their mind their own. And it teaches parents how to walk that path with them. Charles Henry Thomas has written this piece with the heart of a grandfather and the clarity of a man who has lived many lives. It is gentle, practical, and deeply human. So settle in. Take a breath. And let us explore together how a child can learn to look left, look right, and step into the world with confidence. Now, let's begin. The Look Both Ways Guide for the Mind, a survival kit for young thinkers, written for parents, kept for children, preserved for generations, by Charles Henry Thomas. 1. The Quietest Thing You Own. You are the guardian of your child's inner world, not the guardian of their grades or their hobbies or their schedule, though those things matter. You are the guardian of something quieter, something more fragile, something that can be shaped without a sound, their thoughts. A child's mind is the softest clay in the universe. It takes impressions quickly, it holds them deeply. And in the world your child is growing up in, impressions come from everywhere: screens, apps, algorithms, classrooms, friends, strangers, and voices that do not always have your child's best interests at heart. This guide is for you. But it is also for them, for the day they are old enough to read it, understand it, and eventually pass it on to their own children. Because the world is not getting quieter, but your child can get stronger. Parental advice. Choose a quiet moment each week to revisit these ideas. No screens, no rush, just presence. These small conversations will become the threads that bind you and your child closer than you realize. A note to the child. Your mind is precious. You live in a world full of information, some helpful, some confusing, some designed to pull you in. Your parents can help you understand it. Let them guide you. They want you to grow strong. 2. The first rule. Look both ways. You taught your child how to cross the road. You taught them to stop, to look left, to look right, and only then, when everything is clear, to step forward. Now you must teach them the same rule for their mind. Ideas are the traffic of the modern world. They rush past at impossible speeds. They come from directions you cannot see. And some of them are driven by people who do not care if your child gets hurt. So the rule is simple. Before you let an idea into your mind, look both ways. This is the foundation of everything that follows. Parental advice. Introduce this rule gently. Use everyday moments, a video, a headline, a conversation, to remind your child that ideas deserve the same caution as traffic. A note to the child. Just like you look both ways before crossing the street, you can look both ways before letting an idea into your mind. It keeps you safe and helps you stay in control of your thoughts. 3. The left look. Who is telling me this? The left look is the look outward. It is the question of source, of origin, of motive. When your child sees a video, hears a message, or encounters a new idea, they must learn to pause, even for a second, and ask, "Who is telling me this? Is it a real person, a friend, a teacher, a stranger, a company, a computer program designed to keep me watching?" Children are not suspicious by nature. They trust, they absorb, they believe. The left look teaches them that trust is a gift, not a default. Parental advice. Help your child practice the left look by asking gentle questions. Who made this? Why do you think they want you to see it? Keep it curious, not critical. A note to the child. When someone tells you something, online or in real life, pause and ask yourself who they are. Not everyone who speaks to you is trying to help you. Knowing the source gives you power. 4. The right look. How does this make me feel? The right look is the look inward. It is the emotional check, the pause that protects. Children feel things quickly. They feel them fully. And the modern world knows this. In fact, it depends on it. If a message makes your child suddenly angry, suddenly scared, suddenly ashamed, suddenly thrilled, suddenly outraged, someone might be driving that feeling. The right look teaches them to notice the speed of their emotions, to ask themselves, "Why did this make me feel something so fast? Who benefits from me feeling this way?" This is not paranoia. This is awareness. Parental advice. Talk openly about emotions. Let your child know that fast feelings are not bad. They're signals. Help them slow down and understand what triggered them. A note to the child. If something makes you feel a big emotion very quickly, pause. That feeling might be yours, or it might be something someone wants you to feel. You get to decide what stays in your mind. 5. The candy rule. You taught your child not to take candy from strangers. Now you must teach them the digital version of that rule. On the internet, candy looks like free games, free apps, free videos, free likes, free entertainment that seems to know exactly what they want. But nothing is free, not online. If an app is free, it is because your child is the prize. Their attention, their time, their thoughts, their habits, their emotions. Your child must learn that their mind is a private garden. And right now, that garden is growing fast, faster than at any other time in their life. Some people want to plant seeds in that garden. Not all of them are good seeds. Parental advice. Explain the nothing is free principle in simple terms. Show your child how apps make money. When they understand the game, they stop being the product. A note to the child. Free apps and games often want something from you, your time, your attention, your habits. Be careful what you accept. Your mind is worth more than any free candy. 6. The garden and the clay. Your child's mind is both a garden and a piece of clay. The garden grows whatever is planted. The clay takes whatever shape it is pressed into. This is not a weakness. This is childhood. but it means your child must learn two truths. They are the gardener. They choose what grows. They are the sculptor. They choose what shape they take. You cannot protect them from every seed or every hand, but you can teach them to recognize weeds. You can teach them to pull them out. You can teach them to say, "This does not belong in my mind." That is the beginning of mental independence. Parental advice. Use real-world examples, a garden, a craft project, a lump of clay, to show your child how ideas shape them. These metaphors stay with them for life. A note to the child. Your mind grows like a garden and shapes like clay. You get to choose what stays and what goes. You are in charge of what you become. 7. The different table rule. Screens love to divide people. They love to create teams, tribes, sides, and enemies. It keeps people watching. It keeps them clicking. It keeps them angry. But the world is not made of teams. It is made of people. When your child meets someone new in real life or online, they must learn to look for what they have in common. Because almost everyone in the world wants the same things: to be safe, to be happy, to have friends, to be understood. If the internet tells your child that someone is their enemy simply because of where they live, what they look like, or what group they belong to, the internet is lying. This is one of the most important lessons your child will ever learn. Parental advice. Model curiosity. Show your child how to look for common ground with others. Your example teaches more than any lecture ever could. A note to the child. Most people in the world want the same things you do. Don't let a screen convince you that strangers are enemies. Look for what you share. You'll find more than you expect. 8. The garage rule. Your child's brain needs quiet. It needs rest. It needs space. It needs boredom. It needs sleep. These are not luxuries. These are the conditions under which a mind becomes strong. So the rule is simple. When it is time to learn or sleep, the phone goes into the garage. The garage is the charging station. It is not the bed. It is not the pillow. It is not the pocket. It is not the desk during homework. This rule protects the child's attention, their sleep, their emotional stability, and their ability to think for themselves. It is one of the most powerful rules in this entire guide. Parental advice. Make the garage rule a family rule, not a punishment. When everyone follows it, even adults, it becomes a shared act of respect for the mind. A note to the child. Your brain grows when it rests. Putting your phone in the garage helps you think better, sleep better, and feel better. It's not a rule to limit you, it's a rule to strengthen you. 9. The mind check game, list number 1. Once a day or once a week, invite your child into a simple conversation. What did you learn today? What did you think of the lesson? Did anything today need a left look? This game is not an interrogation. It is a ritual of awareness. It teaches your child that ideas have sources, motives, and emotional fingerprints. It also gives you a window into the shaping of their inner world. Parental advice. Keep the tone light. This is a game, not a test. The goal is connection, not correction. A note to the child. Talking about your day helps you understand it better. These questions aren't to judge you, they're to help you grow stronger and wiser. 10. The right look card, list number 2. You can add a simple follow-up question. Did anything today make you feel something too fast? If they say yes, you can gently explore it with them. This is how you teach emotional awareness without turning your home into a therapy office. It is how you raise a child who can recognize manipulation, not with fear, but with clarity. Parental advice. Normalize emotional reflection. Let your child know that fast feelings are common, and understanding them is a sign of maturity, not weakness. A note to the child. Your feelings matter. When something hits you fast, pause and look at it. You're not in trouble. You're learning how to understand yourself. 11. The teacher question. Not all teachers are neutral anymore. This is not an attack on teachers. Many are extraordinary. Many are exhausted. Many are doing their best in a system that is changing faster than they can keep up. But your child must learn that even in the classroom, the look both ways rule applies. If a lesson feels more like persuasion than education, your child needs a way to talk about it without fear. The mind check game gives them that language. It lets them say, "This felt strange," without feeling disloyal. It lets you guide them without undermining the teacher. It keeps the conversation open, warm, and grounded. This is how you protect a child's mind without isolating them from the world. Parental advice. Stay calm when your child brings up concerns. Your reaction teaches them whether it's safe to talk to you about difficult topics. A note to the child. If something in school feels confusing or strange, you can talk to your parents. They're not here to get anyone in trouble. They're here to help you understand. 12. The legacy. This guide is not just for today, and it is for the future. Your child will grow up. They will face a world even louder than this one. They will raise children of their own. And when they do, they will remember the rules you taught them. Look left, look right. Don't take candy from strangers. Guard your garden, shape your clay. See the person, not the tribe. Put the phone in the garage. Play the mind check game. Notice fast feelings. Protect your mind. This guide becomes a family heirloom, not a document of fear, but a document of strength. Because the world will always try to shape young minds. But a child who knows how to look both ways will always know how to stay themselves. Parental advice. Keep this guide somewhere safe. Revisit it as your child grows. Its meaning will deepen with time for both of you. A note to the child. One day you may read this again as an adult. When you do, remember that your parents gave it to you because they believed in your future. Pass it on to your own children when the time comes. A closing reflection for you, the parent holding this guide. You are raising a child in a world that moves faster than any generation before you. You are navigating forces your parents never had to face. And yet, here you are, steady, thoughtful, willing to learn, willing to adapt, willing to protect, without smothering and guide without controlling. That alone makes you extraordinary. Your child will not remember every rule you teach them. But they will remember how you made them feel, safe, seen, heard, and capable. This guide is not about fear. It is about ownership. It is about teaching a young mind that it belongs to itself, not to a screen, not to a trend, not to an algorithm, not to a stranger with a clever app. You are giving your child the rarest gift in the modern world, the ability to think their own thoughts. And one day, when they are grown, they will pass this guide to their own children. Not because the world will be safer, it won't. Not because the noise will be quieter, it won't. But because the wisdom inside these pages will still be true. Look left, look right. Guard your garden, shape your clay, stay human in a world that forgets to be. And remember this: you are not just raising a child, you are raising a mind. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed Albert's voice. Author's note. I wrote this article as a grandfather looking back across the long road of my own childhood, trying to understand how I became the man I am today. My early years were not easy. When my parents got into trouble with the law, I found myself in a government boys' home at the age of 9. It was a harsh place, where the only advice I received after being beaten and bullied by older boys was, "Grow up, kid. Now get out of my sight." The language was stronger, but the message was the same: survive on your own. Fortunately, my grandmother refused to leave me there. She fought for me, rescued me, and brought me into her home in Leeds, Yorkshire. But even then, I slipped into the gang culture at school and quickly found myself heading down the wrong path. At 15, I made the decision that would change my life. I joined the British Army. My goal was simple: to give my grandmother the peace she deserved and to escape the poverty and crime that surrounded me in Hunslet, Leeds. The army became my turning point. At the military college in Aldershot, St. Omer Barracks, I learned a trade, continued my education, and gained the discipline I desperately needed. Over 3 years of training in the Army Catering Corps, I became a fully qualified chef and earned the boys' rank of Company Sergeant Major. At 18, I entered general service as a corporal, a trained chef with a Hotel Olympia first prize to my name, and received my first posting at the Royal Artillery Barracks in Woolwich, near London. I volunteered for overseas duty almost immediately, beginning an 8-year journey across Southeast Asia, Hong Kong, Labuan Island, off the coast of Brunei, and Singapore, followed by 3 years in Germany. In Terendak, near Malacca, I became head chef of the 28th Brigade Officers' Mess, serving senior officers, princes, local royalty, and visiting politicians. Because many of my staff were civilians, I learned 3 languages: Malay, Bahasa Melayu, some Cantonese during my time in Hong Kong, and German during my years in Chile. What I discovered was simple but profound. When you take the time to learn someone's language, their world opens to you. And no matter where I went, regardless of color, culture, or cuisine, people everywhere wanted the same things: safety, a roof over their heads, and enough income to raise their children well. After completing my service contract, I entered the world of sales and eventually owned and operated 3 successful businesses in the UK. That, however, is a story for another time. Today, I live in America, where I've spent the last 21 years. At 85, I still ride my Can-Am Spider and continue to write books and articles about life, liberty, and the lessons that shaped me. If you'd like to learn more about my journey, you can read The Accidental Entrepreneur on my website, https://webfusionpublication.com.